Thank you. Better Covenant. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Look forward to checking that out on iTunes. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen? What a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. I do want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Wes. As you know, Wes helps things sound good, sound better than we actually are here in the church, and handles the AV and just has done a phenomenal job at getting our services, our second service, this service, live streamed, not only on the website, but on Facebook Live. And I just praise God for that. That is such an important ministry. And I would encourage you, when I'm preaching, it'll be shared on my wall. And when Pastor Josh is preaching, it'll be shared on his wall. And it'll always be on the Bowman Hills wall. Make sure you share those on your Facebook. Share those. And this message can go far beyond these four walls. And when people are ready to join a church family or to come back to church, that may just be the message that does it. And so, praise the Lord. Appreciate you, Wes, for doing that and for everybody who's helped out in that process. Let's get into the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you and praise you. May you be glorified. May you uplifted. Be uplifted. May you become more and may we become less. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Overwhelmed. Anyone ever been overwhelmed? I got good news for you. 2 Kings 6, 15 through 16. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "Oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." And so the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so the Syrians bring horses and chariots, but my God's got better horses and chariots, and they're covered, smothered with fire. Our God, he who is in us, is greater than he who is of the world. Amen? Amen? And so Elisha's surrounded by the enemy, and yet he is cool, calm, and collected. Man, I want to be more like Elisha. When I'm surrounded by the enemy, I just want to have Elisha's demeanor. Think about it. God is now defending Elisha with the exact same thing that he used to protect Elijah from death and take him to heaven. A fiery chariot. And so the same power that was accessible to Elijah is now accessible to Elisha. And as we've been learning in this power series, the same power is accessible to you and me. We can have a double portion of that Holy Spirit. To become the people God wants us to become, we've got to have the power of God on our side. The same God who split the Red Sea, hallelujah, can make a way in your life where there is no way. The same God who stepped into a burning furnace with a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you need to know that he is in your furnace with you right now. Overwhelmed? I've got good news for you. That the one who is in you is greater than the one who is of the world. Now, we could just say amen and leave, and that's all we would need to know, and you would have had a good worship. You're not gonna go, but you know, you could have. And we could have left right there, and it would have been good. That right there is what I want you to leave with today. The one who is in you is greater than he who is of the world. And we see that in this story. Once, let's give it some context. Once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, "At such and such place shall be our camp." But the man of God, all right, the prophet Elisha, sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware that you do not past this place, for the Syrians are going down there." And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. And I love this last little sentence there. You got to get this. "Thus he used to warn him so that he saved him there more than once or twice." I hope you know God has saved you more than once or twice. All the times that he rescued you from your terrible decisions. All the times he protected you from wrecking on the road when you were texting and driving. All the times God worked in this church, even in spite of us. God is greater than he who is of the world. You know, Elisha gave Israel an inside track on the enemy. This book gives you an inside track on the enemy. Yeah, Elisha, the word of God at the time, they didn't have the Bible, they had prophets. We have the Bible. And so the prophet, he would help Israel, help God's people avoid being ambushed. You want to avoid some ambushes, read this book. Don't just read it though, you got to do it. Check it out. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Now, I know some of you think this is old school, but you know what? It's in the Bible, so take it up with God. It says, do not be ye equally yoked with unbelievers. You want to avoid an ambush? Listen to what the Bible says. Look, you want to have marital problems before you're even out of the gate, marry someone who does not believe like you do. You know, and definitely don't marry them thinking, well, I'll change them. No, you're not. God can change them, amen? But you're not changing anything. And so when we marry someone, you've got to accept their most glaring defects at the time, because what you don't understand sometimes, couples don't understand sometimes, what you see right now in the courting phase, that's the best that they're doing. You haven't seen the worst yet. They're saving that for a year later. Okay, so this is the key. God knew what he was saying. Don't marry someone who doesn't believe like you do. You want to have the biggest fights in the world? Then marry someone who does not believe like you do. Solomon knew. Solomon was the smartest man and the dumbest man that ever lived. Guy had 700 wives. Notice, for when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God. Look, you want financial problems? Ignore this book. You want health problems? Ignore this book. You want lack of power problems? Ignore this book. So yeah, it would have been pretty cool to have had Elisha in your, check it out. That would have been cool to have Elisha with you, warning you, so you always avoided the enemy's ambush. But check it out, we've got something better than Elisha. We have Elisha, we have Elijah, we have Jeremiah, we have Isaiah, we have Peter, we have James, we have John, we have all the prophets. And let me tell you, if you would start listening to this book more, then it would save you more than once or twice. And the mind of the king, notice, the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none of us, Lord, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. And he said, go and see where he is, that I may send, and I want to seize him. And it was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. And so check it out. He sent their horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Have you ever been surrounded by the enemy? You see, the Syrians attack Elisha because he's given them inside information. He's a threat. The devil would not be attacking you if you were not a threat to him. The devil would not be attacking this church if this church wasn't becoming more of a threat to him. He's attacking you because he's intimidated by you. Have you ever been surrounded by the enemy? You know, the attacks just keep on coming. Have you ever been surrounded by the enemy? The accuser keeps on accusing. The stack of bills keeps on growing. The problems keep on multiplying. We got one person who can relate. I was bragging on you guys. I said to the morning crew, the early morning crew, I said, well, I'm going to get more amens out of the second crew. So far, you're losing. The Syrians attack at the middle of the night. Have you noticed the devil loves to attack at night? He loves to attack at night. So instead of counting sheep, you start counting your problems. So instead of resting in the finished work of Calvary, we become overwhelmed. He wants you to wake up overwhelmed. He wants to beat you before your day has even started. And so he messes with our sleep. 2 Kings 6:15, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and he went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots were all around the city. Friends, the servant wakes up to bad news. But we don't wake up to bad news because you know what? Bad news never sleeps. We are surrounded by bad news. Yeah, there was a time where you used to could turn the bad news off, but now it's accessible to us 24 hours a day. Remember these days? There's some young people here that are like, what's that? There was a time when the TV actually went off. You know, and I remember as a kid, man, on Sunday morning, waking up, and before it was back on the air, just sitting and staring that, waiting for cartoons to come on. Come on, off the air. There was a time when we would go off the air with the bad news, but we live in a day and age where we never disconnect. All right? It beeps on our phones. It beeps on our watches. I used to have an Apple Watch, and then I got rid of it. I was like, I don't need that much bad news. I take it with you wherever you go, man. It's online 24/7. Everywhere you go, the news agency knows that good news is no news. Only bad news sells. That's sad. I want you to get this. We see bad news everywhere we look. There's bad news in our families. There's bad news in some of our jobs. There's bad news everywhere you go. Come on, let's be real. Sometimes we feel surrounded and overwhelmed. And this servant does what we often do when we're surrounded. You know what he does? He panics. But listen to me, church. Panic never produces power. Only prayer does. You want power, you got to start praying more. We're in this power series. We want to leave here as new creations in Christ, so we got to pray more. Instead of running to the prophet, the servant should have been running straight to God. Look, is the first thing you do when trouble comes, run to the pastor? You're running to the wrong person. If I'm the first person you call when you're in trouble, you don't call me, but don't let me be the first person. God should be the first person. You know, if your parent, if you're always running, you know, we run to the pastor, we run to the parent, we run to the person, and that's okay sometimes, but at some point, you got to learn to cut out the middleman and the middlewoman and understand what it's like to connect directly to the source. I'm talking about real power. Man, cut out the middle. That's the beauty of the message of the gospel, is we all can come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to do what? Help in a time of need. You feel overwhelmed today. Hallelujah. We have help. When you're in need, go to God. Before you call anyone, go to God. You see, this servant was too dependent on the prophet. We have some people here that are too dependent on the prophet and not dependent enough on Jesus Christ. Cut out the middleman. Cut out the middlewoman. Go straight to the source. That's the first thing Elisha does. The very first thing the Bible records. Elisha, what does it say? Then Elisha prayed. I wonder, would the Bible say the same thing about you? Or would it say, then so-and-so said a bad word? Then so-and-so went to the bar. Then so-and-so went to the website. Then so-and-so called up three friends and gossiped about it. Then so-and-so called the head elder and complained. God bless you, Troy. Is that how you do with your panic? Or do you go to God? You see, so-and-so goes to McDonald's. You know, maybe you go to the bar. We all deal with despair differently. Some of us go to the bar. Some of us go to McDonald's. But both will kill you. Go to God. Go to God. Under pressure, the servant panicked. Elisha prayed. I am sick of seeing the church behave more like the servant than Elisha. If we prayed more, man, we'd be in, if we prayed as many times as we panicked, we'd be in heaven already. Come on, let's behave more like Elisha. You see, Elisha's proof, more power comes with more prayer. Martin Luther said it best, pray and let God worry about it. I love another pastor, I don't know what his name was, but he said this and I love it. When we pray, we take ourselves off the hook and we put God on the hook instead. When you pray, you put the power in God's hands, not in your own hands. The servant was dependent on a person, so he panicked. Elisha was dependent on the prince, and so he had peace. 2 Kings 6:15, what shall we do? You know, it's interesting. Elisha never actually responds or answers that question the way he asks it. The servant asks, well, what shall we do? And Elisha just says, do not be afraid. So he doesn't tell him what to do. He tells him what not to do. Before Elisha can tell this servant what to do, he must first tell him what not to do. In the third step, in A, there's a powerful statement that says that we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Every Christian should make a decision right now to turn your will over to the care of God. Amen? And so that was one of the steps. And so naturally, we would often be asked by people in recovery. I asked it and other people asked it. Well, how do you know when you're in God's will? And the way we answered that is kind of like the way Elisha answers this. Elisha says, he says, if you don't know what God's will is, you definitely know what God's will is not. So it's not God, you know it's not God's will for you to worry. You know it's not God's will for you to gossip. You know it's not God's will for you to pop a Xanax. You know it's not God's will, and don't get me wrong, sometimes you got to take medication for a condition, but what I'm getting at is God doesn't want you to self-medicate, he wants you to Holy Spirit medicate. It's never God's will to hurt us or someone else. See, when you're surrounded, what you don't do is just as important as what you do. Do not be afraid. The people you work with are crazy, welcome to the party. Do not be afraid. The people that you live with are crazy, do not be afraid. The people you go to church with are crazy, do not be afraid. Did you know that do not be afraid is in the Bible 365 times? That is a do not be afraid for every single day of the week. Hallelujah. Praise God, he's got you covered. Stop focusing on what you don't know and focus on what you do know. What do you know? Well, you know that God loves you. You know that Jesus died for you. You know that God wants the best for you. You know that God is going to provide for you. You know he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Hallelujah, do not be afraid. God's got you. He's got you covered. You know, I believe the reason that do not be afraid is in the Bible so much is because fear is the greatest enemy of the church. It's fear. Most of our arguments, if you follow the trail, it'll take you right back to someone being afraid. I believe that's why you run into that every day of the week. God knew we needed to not be afraid. We don't think right when we're afraid. Did you know that? We don't act right when we're afraid. We tend to imagine all kinds of ridiculous stuff up in our brains when we're afraid. Stuff that's not even true. No wonder the devil's number one tool is fear. Think about it. The media makes money on fear. Did you know that? The Weather Channel loves hurricane season. I mean, what in the world? It's 24/7. And they've mastered the way of making it seem like they're going to give you more information. And we just sit there and suck it up. politicians are elected on the basis of fear. The greatest injustices that have happened in the world are due to fear. The church's biggest fights are due to fear. No wonder the Bible says, do not be afraid. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So if fear is motivating you, you know it's not the Holy Spirit filling you. Perfect love casts out fear. So the servant is overwhelmed because he only sees what is on the surface. The devil knows, church, if he can get you to focus on the surface, then you'll miss the solution. Think about it. The devil knows if he can get you to focus on the problem, you'll get your eyes off of the promise. Married couples, if he can keep you arguing about stupid surface stuff, and you know what the biggest arguments, you know why families, couples ultimately split? It often isn't because of some just major terrible event that's happened. It's often because of little fights over dumb surface stuff like money. All right? The devil knows if he can get you caught up in surface stuff, arguing about money and things that don't really matter, he knows that he'll get to crawl up in your head and say, well, you know what? If you guys were really compatible, you wouldn't be having all of these fights. Give me a break. Friends, real marriage, real love is not about compatibility. It's about compassion. It's about forgiveness. It's about commitment. It's about sacrifice. You see, if the enemy can get the church to fight over surface issues, then guess what? The mission will stop. If he can get us wasting so much precious time on stuff that don't amount to nothing. The servant was blinded by what he saw on the surface, and the devil will try to do the same thing with us. He'll try to get you to forget years of a marriage for just a few minutes of gratification. He'll blind you with desire. He wants you to forget this. You know, the devil does not show you the cirrhosis of the liver when he tells you to drink to deal with the stress. The devil doesn't show you the crack house. You know, he doesn't show you the devastation and discord that gossiping sows. You know, we're just talking, Pastor. No, you're not. You're gossiping. You're not talking. You know, you're gossiping. The devil doesn't show what that stuff does. It kills the church. You think the enemy told Adam and Eve all the things that were going to happen when they sinned? No. They didn't know that their own son would kill their other son. They didn't see the babies that were aborted. They didn't see the murder that would happen. They didn't see the pain and heartache. No, the devil just lied to them and got them to focus on the surface. And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. You see, friends, this is why every single day our prayer needs to be right here. Oh, Lord, please open my eyes that I may see. You see, it wasn't that heaven's armies were not there. It's just that the servant couldn't see them. Just because you don't see God in your marriage does not mean God is not there. Just because you do not see God in the workplace doesn't mean God is not there. 2 Kings 6:16 tells us, powerful those who are with us are more than those who are with him, even when you don't see him. Romans 16:20 says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Lord, help me start seeing from your perspective. Lord, I want to see the way you see. I want to start seeing from your perspective. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the surface. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks where? Hallelujah, God goes below the surface. When everybody saw a worthless junkie, God looked past the junkie and saw my potential. See, God sees past the problem. He sees past the problem to the people. When the servant wanted to know what to do, Elisha doesn't tell him what to do, because the first thing we need is not to know what to do when you're overwhelmed. What you need to see is you need to see. It's not, you don't need to know what to do. You need to know how to see straight. See, when you're overwhelmed by the bills, yeah, you need to know what to do. It's called stop spending money. But more than that, when you're overwhelmed by the bill collectors, you need to have a vision of your God. He sent birds to feed Elijah. God's got you. If he provided manna for Israel, God's got you. See, you've got to have a vision of what's below the surface. If you're overwhelmed by your mistakes, Lord, open my eyes so that I can see your boundless love for me, that I can't chase you away. When you're overwhelmed by what's happening in Washington, you need to pray, Lord, open my eyes so that I might see, regardless of who's president, Christ still reigns supreme on the throne. Hallelujah. Lord, help me see. Overwhelmed by the struggle, open my eyes. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You see, the first thing we need to know is not what to do. You don't see straight. When Stephen was surrounded by the enemy, as the throne, imagine, he was the first Christian who was martyred, and everybody probably would have thought, what did he do to end up like this? But let me tell you, Stephen did everything right, and he was the one who ended up being punished. And as the throne stones were breaking his bones, if all Stephen focused on was the surface, it would have seemed as though his God had abandoned him. But God gives him a vision of what was below the surface. And while people were condemning him, he saw Christ defending him. As people were hitting him, he saw Jesus standing up for him. Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Lord, help me see below the surface. Instead of focusing on the problem, Lord, help me focus on the promise. Instead of focusing on the obstacle, remind me that you are the great obstacle remover. Instead of always focusing on the stuff your spouse does wrong, ask God to show you all the stuff your spouse does right. You're lucky that she even married you. Instead of being upset your kids are not where you want them to be, appreciate they're not where they could be. And we should be singing hallelujah for God for that. The servant had to see in order to believe. True Christians should be able to believe without having to see. Because faith, real faith, is stepping out in action even when you can't see what's happening. Do not be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. You see, Elisha's got to get his focus off of them and get it on him. See, the problem was not them, the Syrians. It was him, the servant. Your greatest problem is not your past. Your greatest problem is not your mistakes. Your greatest problem is not your pastor. Your greatest problem is not the preaching. Your greatest problem is not the parishioner. Your greatest problem is not that person or that predicament. Your greatest problem is your perspective. And so check it out. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of what? Horses and what else? And they were covered with what? We serve a God of power, amen? He saw them all around. Never forget it. There's always more hope than hardship. There's always more promise than problems. There is always more hope than heartache. John 1:5, one of my favorite verses. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, will not, shall not overcome it. Even if you can't see it, you need to know that help is there. The Bible says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for. You don't even know what to pray for as we ought. But check this out. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings to what? You see, God goes below the surface. Jesus goes below the surface. He sees past the problems to the potential. He sees past the sin to the sinner. He sees past the past to the person. He sees past the predicament to the promise. No wonder the psalmist declared, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Now that's an interesting phrase. A very present help. This is powerful. I researched this phrase and the word, a very present help, the Hebrew word for present, so God is a very present, the word for present in Hebrew, it means right next to. Right next to. The Hebrew word for very means to the highest degree. So check it out. What this verse is saying, what David is saying, is that when he says God is a very present help, he's saying God couldn't get any closer to you than he is right now. So you may have come in here feeling alone. God was right beside you. Before Elisha ever prayed, heaven's armies were already there. They just couldn't see them. I want you to say that with me. Already there.
Already there.
Say it again.
There.
Before you asked for help, say it.
There.
Before you prayed for a solution, say it. Before you asked to see the answer, God was waiting to give you the answer. In fact, last night, when the enemy showed up at your house to ambush you while you slept, the army of God met the devil by the door and said, "You can't come in here."
Amen.
Hallelujah. When the servant's eyes were finally opened, he saw that God had his problems surrounded. You need to know, God already has your problems surrounded. Your bills are surrounded by his providence and his provincial care. He's got your children surrounded. He's got your job surrounded. He's got your spouses surrounded. He's got this church surrounded. Your fears have fear, and his name is Jesus Christ. The mountain, the Bible says the mountain was already full. Your prayer didn't just get God to show up. He was already there. The prayer just ignited the power to start working in your life. God was already there at the mountain. I hope you know God already has the plan worked out for your salvation. In Revelation 13:8, I love it. It says that the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. Before God made the world, he knew we'd mess up, and yet he loved you so much, he made you, even though he knew you would mess up and knew he would have to die in order to save you. Hebrews 4:3, his works were finished from the foundation of the world. Everything you have ever needed has already been given to you in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so when Elijah prays and the servant's eyes are opened, he sees the glory of God filling the mountain. And he realizes, the servant does, in that moment, he's never, ever really been alone. And instantly, his feelings of being overwhelmed are overwhelmed when he sees the power of God. Church, today in this place, if you would look to the mountain, a much different mountain, but if you would look to the mountain, I'm talking about Mount Calvary. Your feelings of whatever is overwhelming you, you should be totally overwhelmed by his power and grace. Because ultimately what Calvary tells us is there is absolutely nothing that can destroy you absolutely completely. That you're coming through it. And you're going to come through it on the other side better than you were before. Even if death comes, you're coming out on the other side better than you were before. If you're always overwhelmed, I'm going to tell you this. If you're always stressing and you're always overwhelmed, it's because your view of Calvary is underwhelming. Overwhelmed about your mistakes? Notice what the Bible tells us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Overwhelmed by your sin. Notice what the Bible says in Romans 5:20. It says, when sin increased, hallelujah, grace increased. Beautiful in the song today. Overwhelmed by guilt and shame. 1 John 3:20 tells us, 3:20 says, even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and he knows everything. Hallelujah, friends. The mountain is full of God's glory. Romans tells us, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Look to the mountain. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. And how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Look to the mountain. Who shall bring any charge against God's people? It is God who justifies. Who cares what people think? Look to the mountain. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for us. Look to the mountain. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Look to the mountain. For neither life, nor death, nor life, nor angels, rulers, things present, things to come, nor powers, height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you overwhelmed today? Then look up to the mountain. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God's got you covered. You have nothing to be worried about. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you for the awesome God that you are. Maybe we came in here feeling overwhelmed. I pray by the mighty name of Jesus that the overwhelming power and grace of Calvary would wash over us and overwhelm our doubts. Overwhelm our fears, Lord. Overwhelm our hesitations with your power and your love. Help us to see today, Lord, that even when we feel like you are furthest from us, you promised us that you would never separate yourself from us. That because Christ was ultimately abandoned and left hanging on a cross, you will never abandon us or leave us hanging. Lord, I pray that we will not allow the enemy to ever overwhelm us, because he who in us is greater than he who is of the world. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. Go with us, Lord. Change us. And I pray we all encounter Calvary anew today. And Calvary tells us, no matter what, you've got us. You have already solved our greatest problem. You already have dealt with our greatest sin. Now we just need to trust in you and faithfully follow you wheresoever you go. We thank you, we praise you. In the name above all names, Jesus, amen.